Hierdie inset word aan jou gebring met die komplimente van Radio Kaapse Kansel 729 AM. Besoek ons gerus by www.capepulpit.co.za.
Goeiedag luisteraars en welkom by die geselsprogram Die Kopskuif. Hierdie program stel ten doel om sosiaal-maatskappelike probleme effektief deur gesamentlike en kollektiewe optrede tussen die verskillende regeringsvlakke en nie-regeringsorganisasies aan te spreek deur bewusmaking op die radio. Luisteraars, die skole het geopen in Januarie en ons het verneem dat alle leerders terug moet keer na die skool. En ek het dit dus goed gedink om vandag te fokus op die standaard operationele prosedure soos deurgegee is van die Departement van Onderwys en dit is vir Februarie 2022 ten opsigte van die COVID-19 in skole en skoolgemeenskappe. So ons gaan vandag deur hierdie dokument van die Departement van Onderwys gaan ons deurgaan net om vir u as luisteraar, u as skoolgemeenskap, ouer, leerder, opvoeder, prinsipaal, beheerraadslid, ook net u in te lig of u geheue verfris of u daarop attent maak wat die standaard operationele prosedure is wat geïmplementeer moet word van Februarie 2022 in ons skole ten opsigte van die COVID-19. So luisteraars, bly dus ingeskakel hier op Kopskuif, praat ons saam en ons dink saam oor relevante onderwerpe en spesifiek ons skoolgemeenskappe. Saam met julle almal, luisteraars, kan ons 'n groot verskil maak. So met hierdie program reflekteer ons deur gesprekvoering op ons onderwys, op opleiding en meer spesifiek ons skoolgemeenskappe. Dit bly dus jou platform luisteraars waar mense gehoor gaan word, so ook hulle wenke, tegnieke, vaardighede en suksesstories kan deel met ander. Ons fokus op kreatiewe strategieë, die huidige knelpunte in die onderwys en so ook ons skoolgemeenskappe en ons is ook hier om die onderwys en skoolgemeenskappe te ondersteun, te bemoedig en te help om slimmer, wyser en gesonder aksies daar te stel vir die welstand van almal in die onderwys en skoolgemeenskappe en ook hulle vooruitgang. So, hierdie interaktiewe geselsprogram se doel is ook om aanvaarbare gedrag, optredes en verstaane van mekaar se kulture, gelowe, lewenswyse, seksualiteite byvoorbeeld ook aan te spreek. So laat ons die kop skuif maak luisteraars. Bly dus ingeskakel hier op 729 AM. Dit is Radio Kaapse Kansel want na die breek gaan ons gesels oor die SOP's. SOP staan in Engels vir Standard Operation Procedures. Dit is wat nou deur die Departement van Onderwys uitgegee is, wat ons in skole moet toepas. Tot na die breek, luisteraars. Welcome back, listeners. You are tuned in with me, Malvina Meisen Engelbrecht, on the program Kopskuif. Our focus today is on the standard operations procedure as handed out or provided by the Department of Basic Education in South Africa with regards to the containment and management of COVID-19 for schools and school communities. I'm going to continue now with what they stipulated, what must happen in our schools, in our classrooms and our school communities. They say on page 17, and that is number 7.1.4, principals must make sure that everyone in the school has up-to-date information on how to prevent the spread of COVID-19. And then they give quite a few addresses or resources where principals can get the information. Like, for example, the National Department of Health, the National Institute for Communicable Diseases, World Health Organization, Department of Basic Education, National Health Laboratory Services, COVID-19 Online Resource and News Portal. That's just but a few of the platforms where the school principal can get information, and he or she must make sure that the information is up to date and that it's provided to the school. Then they also refer to the roles and responsibilities of the SMT. SMT stands for Senior Management Team. So that is the senior staff at the school. And then also the SGB, that is the governing body, the school governing body, and the staff. There's specific rules and responsibilities that they put out for the senior management team, the school governing body, and the staff. They must monitor the implementation of this document, this standard operations procedure, in short, SOP. So the senior management team, which includes the principal, the school governing body, and the staff at the school are responsible. And it's their role to make sure that this document are being implemented at the school and to stay informed about the COVID-19. They are also responsible to establish an advocacy program for learners to explain the COVID-19 and the vaccination program. They must also establish a COVID-19 response team led by the school principal to coordinate all COVID-related activities, including internal and external communication. Your SGB and your senior management team and the staff also needs to place signs or posters out to encourage good hand and respiratory hygiene practices. They also need to reinforce frequent hand washing and proper sanitation practices. These three groups also have a responsibility to prepare and maintain hand washing stations with water and soap, and if possible, place 70% alcohol-based hand sanitizer in each classroom, at entrances and exits, and near the lunchrooms or the shops and toilets. They also need to, this group, three groups, this is now your SMT, your senior management team, your SGB, your school governing body, and your staff, also need to ensure that cleaning staff clean and disinfect the school buildings thoroughly and regularly, and that there are a decontamination protocol that they follow. Many schools catering for learners with physical disabilities will have increased high-touch areas, including walls, as a result of the needs of the learner. So these services will need to be sanitized more regularly than the services at other schools. The educators, the senior management team, and the governing body also have to ensure that trash is removed daily and disposed of safely. They also have to ensure that the SGBs notify the local Department of Education to procure hand sanitizers, soap, and disposable drying material for all classrooms, toilets, offices, and staff rooms. They also have to ensure that schools or school halls are not used for funerals or any other public gatherings to minimize contamination of school facilities and to observe the social gathering restrictions as outlined in the regulation published by the Minister for Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs. I'm just going to put that one out again. Ensure that schools or school halls are not used for funerals or any other public gatherings. So schools are not allowed to use them. With regards to access to the school property, onto the school, and here I refer now to the parents and third parties, this is what is stated in the SOP, that is the Standard Operation Procedure, and it's on page 19, number 8. Access control for parents and third parties. 8.1. The SMTs and SGBs must ensure that strict access control measures are established, including the signing of a register by all visitors. All visitors wear a face mask and sanitize their hands at the entry point. All visitors report to the reception area. All visitors, except government officials, as per provisions of the South African School Act, must make an appointment and state the nature of their visit. I want to emphasize that again. All visitors, except the government officials, they must make an appointment and state the nature of their visit. There is regular communication with parents via newsletters, telephone, bulk SMSs, emails, etc. to minimize meetings and gatherings with parents. So to minimize meetings and gatherings with parents, they must make use of newsletters, telephone, bulk SMSs and emails. Class-based parents' meetings may proceed subject to strict adherence to non-pharmaceutical interventions such as hand hygiene, regular sanitation of commonly touched surfaces, wearing of non-surgical face masks, and maintenance of good ventilation as outlined in the sections. On personal hygiene, they wrote on page 22, this is now part of the standard operations procedure, as given by the Basic Education Department. They say that learners should be encouraged to wash their hands frequently, always with soap and water, for at least 20 seconds. Keep their nails and teeth clean. Refrain from touching their eyes, mouth and face. Not share cups, eating utensils, food or drinks with others. Sneeze or cough into a bent elbow or tissue. Refrain from teasing anyone about being sick. Share what they learn about preventing diseases with their family and friends and younger family. Tell their teacher or parent if they feel sick. And learners who are sick should be discouraged from attending school. Educators may need to break down the instructions using language that learners will be able to understand regarding personal hygiene into small steps and teach the learners step by step. The use of visual aids will be of assistance. Some learners, particularly learners who are very young, learners with physical disabilities and learners with severe and profound intellectual disabilities may require assistance. So appropriate support must be provided to these learners. Some learners may not realize that their nose is running, and the use of mirrors in the classroom may help learners to assess themselves. Then they also say, parents, guardians, and caregivers must be encouraged to keep learners who are sick at home. Schools and educators must support parents, guardians, and caregivers by sending home step-by-step instructions for learners to continue their studies. Educators are advised that the virus lasts 30 minutes on paper.
So, sanitizing of hands before and after an assignment or book has been handled should provide sufficient protection. Then, with regards to food preparation and serving, they say the following. Transmission of COVID-19 through food could occur if a person infected with the virus prepares or handles food with dirty hands and contamination in it. Cooking food thoroughly and observing good hygiene practices when handling and preparing food are effective at preventing contamination. Food handlers must not come to work if they are not well, as well as wash their hands with soap and water before and after touching any food during preparation. Wash their hands with soap and water before serving food to the learners. Clean and disinfect all work surfaces. Keep all equipment, utensils and appliances clean. Wear clean kitchen attire at all times. Wear headgear and masks to cover the nose and the mouth. Wear closed shoes to protect their feet wherever possible. Ensure proper food storage in refrigerators and lockable cupboards. Rinse all foodstuffs thoroughly before cooking and also fruit before serving to learners. Cook food thoroughly and avoid cross-contamination of food. Learners should be served their meals in their classrooms under the supervision of an educator. Queues should be avoided where possible. Learners must spread out within the available space while queuing. Learners must wash their hands with water and soap before eating. Luisteraars, ons neem weer 'n kort breekie. Na die breek gesels ons weer verder oor ventilasie, die fisiese afstand en oor die maskers. So bly ingeskakel. Ons gesels oor die dokument wat deur die Departement van Onderwys daar gestel is en van toepassing is vanaf Februarie 2022 op ons skole en skoolgemeenskappe. So bly ingeskakel. Welcome back listeners. You are still with me, Malvina Mason Engelbrecht, on Kopskuif, and we are discussing the Standard Operations Procedures. It's a document put out to schools and school communities for the containment and management of COVID-19, and this is to be enforced from February 2022 in our schools. I'm reading on all the relevant information I think that we as listeners and community people need to know and be aware of. With regards to physical distancing, they write on page 26, that is 12.1, they state the following. Physical distance is no longer a requirement for schools. In all areas where learners congregate for learning, extracurricular and other activities, they must spread out within the available space at all times. Classroom windows and doors should be opened at all times to maintain good ventilation and implementation of other non-pharmaceutical interventions is mandatory. Schools or school halls should not be used for church services, funerals, or any non-school activities to minimize the contamination of school facilities and to observe the social gathering restrictions. Schools must identify an adequate resource isolation room or an area and ensure that there is sufficient ventilation. With regards to ventilation, this document states, small droplets emitted during speech and coughing may contain virus particles which can remain viable and infectious in the air for up to 3 hours. Droplets can be transmitted directly by entering the airway through the air or indirectly by contact transfer via contaminated hands. A small concentration of virus particles in poorly ventilated spaces combined with low humidity and high temperature can result in an infectious dose over time. Thus, it is important to have natural ventilation in school buildings by ensuring that all windows and doors are left open during the school day. Where available, fans can be used in addition to open windows for air circulation. With regards to wearing of masks, on page 27, it is number 14, they state, wearing of a mask in public spaces is mandatory for everyone in South Africa. All learners and educators, with exception of learners who are under the age of 6, are required to wear masks while at school as they are public places. Any person who fails to wear a mask is committing an offence and is, on conviction, liable to a fine or a period of imprisonment not exceeding 6 months, or to both such fine and imprisonment. Furthermore, they say that the PEDs will provide each official, teacher, staff and learner with a minimum of 2 cloth face masks or face shields for the period of the national state of disaster. So each official, teacher or a staff member and the learners will get a minimum of 2 cloth face masks or face shields for the period of the national state of disaster. Face shields or visors are not a replacement for face masks and must be used in conjunction with face masks. Schools are encouraged to allow learners and staff the opportunity to take face mask breaks. I want to emphasize that again. Schools are encouraged to allow learners and staff the opportunity to take face mask breaks. That is between 5 to 15 minutes every 2 hours during the school day, where they can safely remove their masks outdoors, where learners can spread out. So schools are encouraged to allow the learners face mask breaks, that is between 5 to 15 minutes, every 2 hours during the school day. Please take note of that. Then on page 28, they state, face masks must be changed when they become wet. Therefore, learners who produce excessive amounts of saliva may need up to 3 or 4 masks per day to change into when their masks become wet. Autistic learners are not accustomed to wearing masks, and this may be an additional cause of stress and/or anxiety in the learner. Wherever possible, schools and educators are encouraged to communicate with parents, guardians and caregivers to ask for their advice on how to manage their child, bearing in mind the child's preferences. Furthermore, they state on page 34 that if the school does not have an SBST, and SBST stands for school-based support team. If your school does not have a school-based support team, a member of the school management team, that's now your senior teachers, should be selected to be the key point of contact. And if your education district does not have a ISHT, which means If your education district does not have an integrated school health team, then the district must convene a COVID-19 response team. It's essential members of the team that must include the following people: a COVID-19 team leader, that means it's someone from district or the provincial level of the Department of Basic Education, a Department of Health representative, a school COVID-19 lead or point person, a representative from the SGB, a representative from housekeeping and environmental cleaning, a representative from employee health and wellness, a member of human resource department, which is optional, and a representative from relevant unions or labor organizations, which is optional, and a media liaison officer, which is optional. So you can make your own team with these individuals if your education district does not have the integrated school health team in place. With regards to the transportation of learners, they write on page 51 and it's number 23, loading capacity of learner transport and hygiene. All commuter transport services, including passenger bus services, taxi services and private cars transporting learners to school, may carry 100% of the licensed capacity. All operators must ensure that the vehicles are cleaned and disinfected before picking up and after dropping off the learners. Provide adequate hand sanitizer of 70% alcohol content at regular intervals and disinfecting equipment with 70% alcohol content. Transport vehicles' doors and windows, the handles, the armrest and handrails are cleaned, wiped with a disinfectant before picking up and after dropping up of the learners. And this also includes the sanitizing of specialist equipment in school transport vehicles. All passengers must wear a mask. Learners sanitize their hands before getting into the vehicle. When drivers or supervisors will be required to physically assist learners embarking and disembarking from a vehicle, they must be provided with PPEs to do so safely. Listeners, I shared quite a bit of information now with you. Now, I want to end off with, how do you identify when someone needs help? One or more of the following signs, listeners, may be presented: persistent fear, worry, and anxiety, persistent sadness, hopelessness, and other overwhelming emotions, withdrawal from others, loss of interest in personal appearance and unusual lack of energy, expression of rage or anger, missing work or classes, and use of or increased use of drugs or alcohol. This is signs that we as educators and the parents must look out for in our learners, because this COVID pandemic can have a very, very bad effect on our learners, and we need to identify these signs. But remember, this can also happen with our teachers, our educators. So when you identify this signs in a learner, the class teacher can speak with the learner to determine whether they can provide emotional and or other support. And there's specific procedures that needs to be followed: identification, assessment and support. Send the learner for counseling with this specific forum or group that handles those matters. When an educator or a non-teaching staff member is identified, the SMT, that means the senior management staff, your principal, vice principals, and head of departments, can determine what kind of support is required and either provide the support or refer the educator to the employee health and wellness unit for specialized services. Now, in addition to this individual counseling and support, the following activities are important group or whole school activities to create awareness and understanding about the social, emotional, and psychological impact of COVID-19. Talk to each class about the emotional effects of COVID-19. Teach each class about identifying and interpreting emotions, how to handle or react to fear or anxiety, how to identify the signs of depression. Teach and encourage positive self-talk, provide counseling for the school and the at-risk groups. Luisteraars, dit is 'n mondvol wat ek vandag met u gedeel het. Hierdie dokument is aflaaibaar van die departement van basiese onderwys of u behoort die inligting ook by u naaste skool te kry. So, gaan gerus as daar nog enige onduidelikheid bestaan, maar u behoort nou 'n idee te hê van min of meer hoe die skole nou gaan funksioneer en dit is op 100% kapasiteit. Luisteraars, skakel in elke week hier op 729 AM. Dit is nou Radio Kaapse Kansel met my Malvina Meisen Engelbreg op die program Kopskuif waar ons skoolsake gesels. Sake wat van belang is in ons skoolgemeenskappe. Jy kan ook luister vir ons aanlyn of ons webblad besoek. Dit is www.729am en daar het jy toegang ook tot ons potgoeie waar al die programme weer geluister kan word of afgelaai kan word. Tot volgende week dan. Tot ziens, luisteraars.
Hierdie inset was aan jou gebring met die komplimente van Radio Kaapse Kansel 729 AM. Besoek ons gerus by www.capepulpit.co.za.